What's going on, everyone? You're listening to episode 25 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera. And before we get started, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod and throw us a like on Facebook. Just type in MNN Sports Talk Podcast on Facebook and click the like button. So, Nick, the Jets and the Giants are coming off one of their, you know, I guess they play once every couple of years, but they're coming off a game where the Jets were home against the Giants and the Jets came out on top 34-27. And now this was the second time that we went to a Jets-Giants game. The first time was the last time they played, which was in 2015. And the Jets came out on top in that game too, courtesy of Fitzmagic. But now I am 2-0 against you in games that we attend with Jets versus Giants. How is that? How does that make you feel?
I'm just hurt on a personal level. Like, I don't even know what to do with myself anymore. I still think I'm in a simulation. This isn't real life right now. I don't know how to go on with my life taking all these L's and just seeing the L in person with you there to remind me that I'm taking the L really hurts me.
And you were talking so much garbage too before the game. I mean, we got there a little bit early. And we tried to tailgate, but our grill didn't really work out too well, so we ended up eating raw meat for our burgers. But you were talking all that garbage beforehand. When the Giants came back and took the lead, I believe it was like in the third quarter or something like that, you were like, oh, here we go. See, I told you. And look what happened. The Jets scored 10 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. You put up a goose egg in the fourth, and you lose 34-27. And with about 5 minutes left to go in the game, all the Giants fans were leaving MetLife.
I know. And when all the Giants fans left, I left all 14 of the Jets fans that were there. That really stung the most. I forgot we had a Pop Warner defense. I thought we had a professional defense, but I forgot who I was dealing with here. I was thinking of the Giants of old and not the Giants of the last few years. This hurts.
Yeah, and also the Jets put up a season high in points with 34. Like, how does that make you feel knowing that the Jets played their best offensive game against you? And it wasn't just the offense that scored points. Jamal Adams, he grabbed the ball right out of Daniel Jones' hands and just ran it back for a touchdown. I think that was in, like, the first quarter, I believe. It might have been later on in the game. But either way, I guess it was like a blitz or something like that. He just ran in, snatched the ball out of Daniel Jones' hands, and ran it back for six.
Yeah, no, he played good, so, and they won, too. Wasn't crying this week, but I mean, I guess that's good for you guys. But I'm sure before the season ends, he'll be crying a lot more. But, I mean, the season high in points, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, because, like I said, our defense is Swiss cheese. We have no pass defense whatsoever, and we can't stop anybody. Through the passing game, I don't think we've put up, like, I'm pretty sure, like, every quarterback we've played, like, puts up ridiculous stat lines. Like, if I have anyone in fantasy that is playing the Dolphins or the Giants defense, they're getting an immediate start. Doesn't matter where they are in the depth chart.
Oh, man. And, you know, like, it feels like the Jets just, like, played a really good game. Like, yeah, the Jets gave up 27 points, but you know, the defensive front really put on a clinic in that game.
New Jack City.
Saquon Barkley, he's coming off the Offensive Rookie of the Year award in his rookie season last year. He comes into MetLife. He comes in pretty much into his own building. Has 13 carries and just 1 yard to show for it. Like, the Jets' defensive front just put on a clinic on how to stop the run. And you have to admit, they're pretty good.
I mean, do you see what we're dealing with on that O-line? Gross.
The Jets' O-line is just as bad, if not worse, than the Giants.
And what did Le'Veon put up?
Beans. He got 34 yards on 18 carries, but at least he got a touchdown. At least he got more than one yard.
I guess.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell averaged 1.9 yards per carry against the Giants, but you know what Barkley averaged?
Let me know.
0.1 per carry.
Hell yeah. I'm all for that. That's what I like to see out of my Saquon. Well, that's what happens when you rush him back from injury.
And yeah, that's
he's
true.
He's still low-key injured.
Yeah, that you know, I'm making fun of Barkley a little bit, but mostly because like you're a Giants fan, I'm a Jets fan, but that is very true. Barkley, you truly think that he's still hurt? You think he should have been out longer?
Yeah, I mean they weren't making the Super Bowl anytime soon, so I don't really see the upside. I mean, he came back in like a day. He came back in like 3 weeks. I was like, geez, dude.
And normally, that's like 4 to 6 weeks? Or like, weren't they talking like almost 8 weeks that he would be out at first?
Yeah, because they said it was like a pretty bad high ankle sprain. I was like, yeah, I don't expect him to be back anytime soon. And then like, it seemed like a week later, he's like, all right, I'm here.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video. I had to have been like no more than 2 weeks since the injury. But there was a video from him at practice, like doing sprints, like running, doing high leg kicks. And I was like, wow, this guy went down with a high ankle sprain like a week ago. And here he is looking like he never missed any time.
Yeah, he thought he was a machine, but I know that's low-key hurting him. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm hurting right now. We're all hurting.
You know what Barkley's hurting the most right now?
What's that?
Your fantasy team. Because didn't you draft him first overall in one of our leagues?
Yeah, I did. In the league that counts the most, I drafted him number one overall. And what is he? Well, he's been all right this year, but right now he's starting to quack.
Yeah.
And I need him to, you know, put up the same stat lines he was putting up last year when he was making me lose all those games.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when I draft him, now he wants to do this to me.
Now let's talk about the quarterbacks in this game. Like Daniel Jones, he was 26 for 40, 308 yards, 4 touchdowns. But you know, again, this probably most likely, well, obviously, is because of the offensive line. He was sacked 6 times for 50 yards, and Sam Darnold, 19 of 30, 230. Well, he 3 carries for 25 yards for him. He was twice for just 12 yards.
I know. We can't protect anybody. I don't know what this guy Nate Solder is doing. I don't know what anyone on that O-line is doing. Like, I feel like no matter what, like, everyone is bashing this guy, Daniel Jones, for his, like, turnovers, and yeah, he's a fumble machine, let me tell you.
Yeah, he had 3 fumbles in that game, one lost one. Obviously, that was the one with Jamal.
He's a fumble machine, but he's, like, his pocket collapses pretty quickly. And, I mean, I feel like a lot of his issues are with the fumbles. He when he's in the pocket, he's always looking downfield. And, like, he's always trying to move up in the pocket and make a play. And it works sometimes, but a lot of the times, like, that's when you see the defense get to him and then they just either hit him or they just rip the ball from him. And that's where, like, a lot of his fumbles come from.
Yeah.
And it's good that he's, like, moving up in the pocket and trying to ignore the pressure, but sometimes it's like he ignores it too much and that's when he gets eaten up.
Mm-hmm. And, like, let's talk about Sam Darnold a little bit. You know, the past few weeks, they haven't been great for him. He was, you know, like Daniel Jones has the turnover issue with the fumbling. You know, Sam Darnold has the same type of issue, but it comes with the interceptions. And I believe
he's seeing ghosts.
In the past, not including the Giants game, but I think it was like 2 or 3 games prior, I think he had like 8 interceptions or something like that. And in the red zone, he did miss 3 to 4 games with mono, and he leads the league in red zone interceptions. That, you know, that you have to cut that down with, and that comes with the bad decision making. Obviously, it has to do with the offensive line. And I think the Miami game, when they lost to Miami, there was this one interception in particular in the red zone. If you remember, there was, you know, he was getting rushed in the pocket, and he tried to just. He claims he tried to throw the ball away, and he kind of just, like, chucked the ball. Didn't really have a good grip on it. It was like a dying duck, and it was intercepted at, like, the 3-yard line, I think. But, you know, I think the Miami game was the worst. And obviously, you know, for me, I can't imagine that you could get any worse than how he performed in the Miami game, and you could only go up from there. But in this game against the Giants, it seems like he did a much better job in – trying to prevent the interceptions and the turnovers. You know, obviously no interceptions. No fumbles in this game for Sam Darnold. And, you know, he threw for 230 yards, 19 for 30. So, you know, his QBR was 86.5. So not like terrible. But this was definitely a good sign if you're a Jets fan. Sam Darnold playing against the Giants. Yeah, like you mentioned, you know, the Giants defense isn't great. The Giants team in general isn't great. But we needed to see an improvement from Sam Darnold, because what we have seen since the Cowboys game has been nothing but disappointment. And we really need to make sure that the Jets didn't trade up for Sam Darnold for nothing. We have to make sure that this kid can improve and can really be a franchise quarterback. And so far, I think the Jets and the Giants have found their quarterback. You know, yeah, for Daniel Jones, like you said, the fumbling is an issue. But that can be corrected, just like Sam Darnold's interceptions. That can be corrected. But on Daniel Jones, you know, he's – like, what's his stats this season? I mean, he's – I feel like he puts up a good chunk of yards. He's – you know, every other game, it seems like he's thrown for three or four touchdowns a game. And, you know, I just pulled up Daniel Jones' stats. He's – you know, he's almost at 2,000 yards already. He has 15 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. So – you know, for a rookie, I feel like that's pretty good for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I like it. I just need this guy to – it seems like every time he's in the brink of, like, leading him back into the game or they're about to take the lead, he leaves the pocket, does a little 8-yard run, and either just takes a hit or just, like, the ball just flies out of his hands, and I'm like, oh, no, again.
But that could be corrected, though. He's a rookie.
Yeah. I mean – I'm like, I just want to win now, man. We've been like, it's not even we've been bad. We've been like atrocious, like unwatchable for like 3 years now.
But you at least have a Super Bowl. Being bad,
being atrocious, I don't know, man. It hurts.
You've seen two Super Bowls the past 10 years. The Jets, I haven't seen one in my entire life. My dad hasn't even seen one in his entire life.
I know. I'm just greedy. I love it. I love the greed. Bring it on.
It's like us Yankees fans. We need a championship right now.
I know. I'm spoiled.
But I except, think... What were you saying?
I said I'm spoiled, except when it comes to Knicks and Rangers, those bums. We don't talk about the bums that play at MSG.
Yeah. Well, the Rangers, they're on the up and up, but right now it's a disaster going on the hardwood floor in MSG right now.
We don't talk about them.
Yeah. But, you know... So far, the most important position in all of sports, in football, it's the quarterback, in baseball, it's the starting pitching, in hockey, it's the goaltending, and in basketball, it's the point guard. And right now, if you're a Jets or a Giants fan, well, mostly Giants right now, because, you know, like I mentioned, Sam Darnold, we haven't really seen a lot from him. You know, I still think he could be the franchise quarterback, but he needs to build off his success that he had against the Giants. He can't have any more of these – you know, these games like he had against Miami moving forward for the remaining 7 games. But if you're a Giants fan, you know, like I mentioned, Daniel Jones is almost at 2,000 yards, 15 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He looks like he can be the real deal. He's from Duke. He's obviously not the Duke athlete that New York wanted. Obviously, they wanted Zion Williamson, but they got Daniel Jones and RJ Barrett. But, you know, Daniel Jones, he looks like the real deal. He looks like he belongs in the NFL, and once he corrects the turnover issue, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be serviceable, a nice guy to replace Eli Manning moving forward.
He's not the Duke athlete the New York wanted, but he's the Duke athlete the New York needed. Danny Dimes is the truth, I believe. I'm all on the Danny Dimes gravy train. Yeah, and it's not going to slow down anytime soon. We're here for it.
You just need the jersey now, and then you'll be all set.
I know. Every place I go, they're either sold out or they don't have them. I'm like, damn, everyone's like on the gravy train.
Yeah. Now, if you had your pick, are you getting the blue one or are you getting the white one with the red?
I'm getting the color rush, baby. The white with the blue, the old school. Oh, like
the retro one that they wore a couple weeks back?
So delicious.
Yeah, that's cool. You have an Eli one, but it's the white one with the red letters.
Yeah, I got an Eli. I have like... The ones that fit me, at least right now. I got an Eli one away, and then a Lawrence Taylor home one. And I have, like, so many other jerseys that don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the two I got that are okay right now. So we got to get a Saquon, and we got to get a Jones one right now.
Yeah.
Now kind of disappointed in myself. I don't have a Saquon one yet. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
No, I'm being a bozo. I don't know what's good.
Now, I have the Gotham Green Sam Darnold 2019 jersey, and I wore it with pride on Sunday against the Giants.
I wore it with pride. Get me out of here.
You know, I know I mentioned a little bit before, Sam Darnold, I think he can be the franchise quarterback for the Jets. You know, I think, you know, yeah, the numbers don't look great this year. He did miss about three or four games with mono this year. He missed about four games last year due to injury. So he's only played in about 19 games in his short NFL career so far in 2 years. And yeah, like I said, the numbers don't look great. He's a little over 1,300 yards, seven TDs and nine interceptions. But, you know, I think just like Daniel Jones, like I mentioned, has the issue with the fumbling, Sam Darnold has the issue with the interceptions. But, you know, I think a big part of both quarterbacks, honestly, a big part of their struggles right now has to do with the offensive line. And I know you've talked lengths about the Giants' offensive line, especially dating back to last spring when we first started the podcast. But, you know, the Jets' offensive line is just as bad, if not worse, than the Giants. And, you know, there's been – like it seems like every other week they have a new combination of players up there trying to protect Sam Darnold. And when you're a young quarterback and you have no protection, you're just setting that guy, you're setting that quarterback up for failure. And until the Jets and the Giants could solidify that offensive line, you know, neither quarterback is really going to get to thrive.
Yeah, I mean, for both, the offensive line is an issue. I mean, on the Giants side, at least they tried to solidify it with a kind of some people. Nate Solder, of course. I don't know why they chose that guy, but man, every time I see him in any aspect, on the field, on TV, I'm like, oh man, all that money, can't even block nobody. Like, I feel like if you put Daniel Jones at DN, he could get by Nate Solder.
But yeah, it seems like he did a better job blocking you. I forgot what game it was. I think it was the game before Jets. When Daniel Jones handed the ball off to somebody and he went out to make a block and then got wrecked.
I think that was the Cowboys game.
I think it might have been, but I just remember seeing him run out there. I'm like, what is he doing? And then he just gets decked to the ground.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Oh. I give him credit, though, but you guys are very lucky he didn't get hurt.
I know. He put down the downfield block and just got lit up. That was jokes. That was jokes. But yeah, I mean, the offensive line, it's only going to – you got to slowly improve it. It's either through the draft or just with time. Like, I mean, I'm not too sure how the Jets are doing, but for the Giants, I mean, I heard the stat line that, like, our offensive line, they played, like, so many games, so many sacks consecutively where they didn't even take, like, a single snap off until, like, Jalapio, he was out for, like, a little bit, the center. But other than that, they're pretty consistent with the group they sent out there. And, I mean, that's, like, the main thing is just being in sync with everyone on the line. But it helps to have, you know, a good offensive line.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
It's not going to – offensive line isn't something that you could fix, like, overnight. So if it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, the Jets are in the same boat. I agree with you. You know, it's either you build through the draft or you just got to be patient and hopefully the guys that you have now improve. Or maybe, you know, you go out in free agency. Now, obviously free agency is hit or miss, and the Giants have experienced that firsthand, you know, going out. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think for both teams, I think a priority in this offseason and this draft has to be trying to shore up the offensive line. And yeah, you know, there's holes all over the field for both teams, but you look at teams like the Colts, look what happened to Andrew Luck. You know, he was potential a generational type quarterback. They never were able to get a decent offensive line around him, and his body got destroyed. He was constantly hurt, and that forced him to retire early. And of course, the 1 year they do have a decent offensive line, he's too banged up to even play and decides to hang up the cleats.
Yeah, I know. I like his decision. But I know he's at home low-key like, damn, where was this?
Yeah, right.
He played like his whole career with no offensive line, and he basically carried them. And now he's got basically mushy insides all because of the no line. Like, some of his injuries were just like ridiculous. Like, this guy had like severe, like, organ trauma. Like, it was either, like, a liver, a kidney laceration. I was like, my Lord.
He was getting wrecked. He's getting, like, 4 or 5 300-plus-pound linemen, you know, decking him to the ground and piling up on top of him.
Yeah, it was not a good look. I respect this decision. And, no, I feel like he's okay with his decision. Like, I haven't heard anything from him since he came out in preseason.
Yeah, it's been very quiet on his end.
He literally just disappeared in the shadows. He's like, I'm good off this. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's talk about some goals now for both the Jets and the Giants. And, you know, Pretty much their goals for the rest of the season, what they should be focusing on. Because obviously right now at this point, at this stage in the game, for both teams, the Jets and the Giants, wins and losses don't necessarily really matter moving forward anymore. It's just, it's you know, at least for the Jets end, there's a couple things that they got to focus on. And I know Sam Darnold came out and spoke to the media after the Giants game saying, oh, like, you know, if we win out, we could still make the playoffs. But then quickly on Monday on the Michael Kay show, he quickly, you know, backtracked and pretty much just said, yeah, it's game by game. And I was just coming off the high of winning. So let's break it down now. We'll talk Giants first, then Jets. We'll kind of just talk about goals and what they should be focusing on moving forward.
All right, goals for the Giants. Let's see. I know the obviously first and most important goal is to not mess up Daniel Jones. I know Pat Shurmur's trying his absolute hardest to either get fired or, you know, just destroy the team. That guy is a complete saboteur. Do not trust Pat Shurmur.
Your guy.
That is not my guy. Pat Shurmur sucks. But anyways, he almost, I don't know who would I want, Gase or Shurmur. Ugh, they both make me cringe.
Bring back McAdoo.
Oh, he was a guru before anybody, man. He benched Eli and he wanted to move on. And even though it hurt me, I disagreed with him, but he was right. Anyways, for Daniel Jones, it's very easy. Just don't mess him up. Just continue the developmental process. Let him develop. Don't kind of hinder his growth. Let him go out. Like, what I would do is let him progress through the whole game. Kind of not really make too many adjustments. Kind of tell him what's going on. Help him figure out what he's seeing. And then let him kind of figure it out on his own. See if he's able to do that. Then, after the fact, when you're watching film, that's when you show him everything that he could have done, et cetera, et cetera. Don't kind of force him into any bad habits and just let him kind of do it himself. Hopefully he doesn't fall off a cliff, but he's on a good trajectory. Basically, continue what you're doing. Don't do anything else and just let it rock. Mm-hmm. Number two, don't destroy Saquon. I know it seems like Saquon's on a path to just have that one season and be done, but I refuse to believe it. Saquon's the truth. You're not going to the Super Bowl anytime soon, so I think it's important to just preserve him. I mean,
you're going
to
sit him for load management?
Not sit him for load management, but like I think it was good, like what they did with the Jets. Like he's still seems like he's injured to an extent, and he wasn't doing anything the whole game, whether it be a combination of Saquon, whether combination of the O-line or just both of them not having a good game. And he has 1 yard. And I like how they only held him to 13 yards. Like, they didn't just beat him into the ground nonstop.
13 carries?
Yeah, what I say.
You said 13 yards.
Oh, oops. Yeah, that was wishful thinking there. 1 yard. 13 carries. They didn't abuse him the whole game. And they realized, I mean, relatively quickly, like, hey, this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, that was smart.
And they were down most of the game anyway, so they were kind of opted out into passing. But, I mean, I kind of like it. Like, if you're not going anywhere, like if you're getting blown out or if it's just not his game, maybe just don't just keep feeding him the ball. Like, if until you think he's healthy or in games and it really doesn't matter. Like, say it's week 17, you're getting blown out. Like, I think it's pretty common sense. But you can never doubt Shurmur. That guy will find a way to be a bozo. Not too many more goals left. Those are pretty much the most important. The next one I would say is, I guess, try to figure out who you're clearing house with. Like, there's so many people that just look like they don't want to be there, especially he gotta go, man. I'm tired of him getting burnt or having the ball caught on his neck. He's just there for the paycheck. He does not want to be there. And like, the crazy part is he still could be maybe not an elite corner anymore, but he could be an upper echelon corner. Like, when he wants to play, and they're in games, or he's on prime time playing against the Cowboys, he can make some plays and he could shut down people. But for the most of the time, he's just sitting there like, yeah, this sucks. I'm on a trash team. I'm not going nowhere. But that paycheck's crazy, though. So I feel like he's just stuck in limbo. He got to go. If we're going to be bad, might as well be bad with a lot cheaper corner and a rookie who's going to develop instead of a veteran corner who's just going to decline or continue to not care. And that's pretty much it. Talked about the offensive line, kind of shore them up, hopefully, with this draft capital. They could, they used some of it for Leonard Williams. So far, he's done nothing.
You have to figure out what you're going to do with him. Are you going to re-sign him? I would assume that they're going to want to re-sign him since they traded for him. And, you know, if they – I forgot exactly what happens, but I think if he – they traded a third and a fifth for him. And I think if he leaves the Giants, that fifth becomes a fourth, or if they re-sign him, that fifth becomes a fourth. I don't really remember, but one way or the other, that fifth can become a fourth if he either leaves or he re-signs. But, you know, yeah, like you said, you give up two future draft picks for Leonard Williams, and draft picks are very valued in the NFL. So I would have to imagine that the Giants would want to re-sign him.
Yeah, I like draft picks, but I mean, in some aspects, it could be overrated. Like, I mean, the third and fourth round, they help you shore up your they help fill out your roster. But I mean, if you're taking a risk on the potential, they're basically taking a risk on the potential of Leonard Williams. They know what his ceiling can be, and I mean, if it doesn't pan out, a third and a potentially a fourth isn't the end of the world. Like, the odds of you finding, that's where you find your rotation players usually. So, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it'd be nice if, you know, he wasn't a complete bum. But yeah, I want to see what happens so far. So good, at least. The main issue, honestly, is the defense. They really got to focus in the draft, at least, for O-line. Maybe later on, but immediately the defense, like in all aspects, pretty much the only thing that's okay right now is like the defensive line. Like, their run stopping ability is pretty good. It's literally just any form of passing. Like, no one knows what to do. As soon as the QB drops back, they just get torched, swish cheese. So they just need to honestly improve that defense. That's like, that would say my third goal. So one, Daniel Jones, 2, don't destroy Saquon, and 3, give me some fast coverage, please.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about the Jets' goals for a little bit. So, you know, like I mentioned before, Sam Darnold said that if they went out, they could potentially still make the playoffs. And then, you know, like I said, he backtracks, and, you know, it's one game at a time. He was coming off the high. I don't think the Jets should really be too focused on trying to make the playoffs at this point in time. For both teams, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, for both teams, wins and losses shouldn't matter anymore. You know, some goals for the Jets. I think number one is that the important players have to stay healthy for the remaining 7 games of the season. They have to. And it seems like the Jets hired the New York Yankees medical staff this year because everyone is getting hurt on the Jets. You know, Chris Herndon and Brian Winters are, you know, This game against the Giants, they both got hurt and probably going to be out for an extended period of time, possibly for the rest of the season. And they're now added to a very long list of, you know, projected starters and key players that have either missed time or are currently injured. And like I said, they must have hired the Yankees medical staff because it's been awful. And, you know, that could be a big reason why that they're sitting right now at at 2-7. But, you know, so I think they definitely have to stay healthy, the important players, you know, like Darnold, Jamal Adams, you know, a lot of the key players. So that's goal number one, just stay healthy. And for the people who are hurt, rehab and get healthy for next season. The next goal is that they have to figure out who the keepers are in this roster. You know, like you kind of mentioned a little bit for the Giants, the Jets kind of have to figure out the same thing. They have to figure out, all right, what positions do we need to improve upon? Who are we bringing back next year? Who are we going to potentially try to trade away? And, you know, the two biggest areas of concern for me, if I'm the Jets, at least on the offensive side of the ball, is you have to figure out what you're going to do with this offensive line. Are you going to try to sign people in free agency? Are you going to try to improve it via the draft this spring? And then you have to get Darnold some weapons. We have Le'Veon Bell now for 3 more years, so our running back is covered. Now we have to get him some wide receivers, you know, like, because our top option right now is Robbie Anderson. That's the Jets' number one receiver. Robbie Anderson is probably, you know, he's probably the third most important receiver on any other team. So we have to get Darnold, and that's no disrespect to Robbie Anderson. I like him. I like him as a football player, but, you know, he's not a number one option. So the Jets need to shore up the offensive line, and they need to help Darnold out, get him some weapons other than just Le'Veon Bell, more specifically wide receivers. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, their defensive front is, I think, really good. They're one of the best at stopping the run, and we saw evidence of that in this Giants game. The biggest area of concern is their cornerback situation. They pretty much have no corners. Their corners are horrible that they do have on the roster. And, you know, that's another thing, too. You know, Tremaine Johnson has been an absolute, you know, it's been like the Jacoby Ellsbury of the Yankees. He's just been awful. They signed him to all this money. And he's always hurt, and when he does play, he's terrible. So they need to figure out the cornerback situation, whether, like, same thing with the offensive line, whether that's through the draft or through free agency. Either way, that has to be improved for next season. I have two more goals for the Jets. One of them is similar to, like, the Giants, the development of Sam Darnold. They have to see improvement. He needs to, in the remaining 7 games of the season, that he has to show that he could cut down on the bad decision-making. You know, whether, you know, mostly it's just the turnovers where, you know, like the interceptions. He needs to cut that down. He did a good job of that in the Giants game, but, you know, so far he's only really had 2 solid games this season. I know he's been out with mono, but, you know, the 2 solid games, the best game so far in his career was the Cowboys game a couple weeks ago. And then the other solid game was against the Giants. So we need to see more development from Sam Darnold. He needs to show that he can cut down on the interceptions. He needs to show that he can make better decisions when he's under pressure, because so far his biggest weakness is when he's under pressure. That's pretty much when bad things happen, is when he's under pressure. That's when he tries to force stuff that's not really there. He tries to make plays when sometimes it'll just be easier just to throw the ball out of bounds. And that's just the thing that I want to see of an improvement from Darnold in the remaining portion of the season, just the better decision making and just knowing when to just give up on the play instead of trying to make something out of nothing. And then the final thing we need to see is, can Adam Gase innovate this offense? Because so far he's been very underwhelming in his short tenure so far with the Jets, and he's in year one of a 4-year contract. Christopher Johnson, the Jets owner, already came out and said that he's going to be back for 2020. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So we need to see Gase make this offense better in the remaining 7 games of the season and see how they can go from year one to year two when he has, you know, maybe more people that are healthy, better talent, etc. But so far, you know, it's been very underwhelming, this Gase offense. And he came in as this offensive guru, this quarterback whisperer, and so far it hasn't really been great. I'm not 100% ready to throw in the towel on Adam Gase just yet, because, you know, injuries are definitely a big part of it. But he needs to definitely do a better job at innovating this offense. And the one thing that I want to see more of is ways to incorporate Le'Veon Bell. You know, Le'Veon is probably going to have one of the worst seasons of his statistically wise in his career this year. But, you know, a big part of it has to do, because it seems like Gase doesn't really know what to do with him. And I that needs to be better, whether that's in the remaining 7 games of this season or next season. That needs to be better. But yeah, you know, I think those are kind of like the main goals, you know, to staying healthy, figuring out who the keepers are, how to fix the offensive line, get better wide receivers for Darnold, get some corner defense, the development of Sam Darnold and Adam Gase innovating this Jets offense.
I love it. My favorite part about Adam Gase is how he got this reputation as the quarterback guru when he was in Denver, and he got the okay from Peyton Manning because he worked with him in Denver. Like, everyone's acting like Peyton Manning wasn't in the league for 20 years already and at that point.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Peyton Manning actually called the Jets and, like, spoke very highly of Adam Gase, too, during the interviewing process.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Like, people act like he was in Indianapolis for 20 years. I'm like, what? Like, wow, look what he did when he was on Denver. Like, where did this come from? How could Peyton Manning play like this?
Yeah.
But I am very Confucian.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. Obviously, the Jets and the Giants have a lot of work to do for the remaining portion of this season. And heading into next year, the Jets play the Redskins this weekend. And the Giants are on bye and will play the Bears the following weekend.
Oh, thank God. A bye. Just what I needed. I can't watch this team anymore. Mm-hmm. But the way the Bears are playing, we're hyped. We're ready to get this W.
Yeah, right now the Bears are 4-5, so they'll either be 5-5 or 4-6 heading into the matchup with the Giants. The Giants are 2-8, and the Jets are 2-7 facing the 1-8 Redskins this Sunday.
On the road to 8-8, baby. Let's get it.
Well, you've been listening to episode 25 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. Have a good one.